also a few other places this evening. If you're visiting with us, I want to thank you for being here this evening. Just to fill you in on what we're doing here on Sunday nights, we're sort of taking a break from the sermon aspect of doing things. And our year is focused on here at the East Foothill Church of Christ on evangelizing, seeking and saving the lost. And so we're focusing on some things in that nature. Just a reminder, this is more of a Bible class setting. So if you have questions, raise your hand. If you have hard questions, ask someone else. And we'll go from there. But good to see all of you back. I want to thank you again for your support during this. I know a lot of you have said you're excited about some of the things that are going on, and I'm excited as well with that you guys are excited, and also we've already had some chatter about some things that we've started. I sent an email out to you if you signed up for one of these three groups. I sent an email out to you. If you didn't give me your email address, come give it to me so that you can be on that list. I've explained to you that we're going to start meeting pretty soon here on kind of what these groups' roles and responsibilities are. And I encourage some of us or some of you to start right away. You know, we don't have to wait for these meetings to go. I gave some encouragement in the email there. And some of you have, I've heard, already started doing things in regards to what your group is focused on. So that's a good sign. Very quickly, before we begin, I want to meet with a few people after services. And so if I name your name, you're going to be in really big trouble. No, I'm kidding. It's like getting called out of class, you know, in fourth grade or something. But no, I want to meet with you, with some of these men here after services very briefly to talk to them about maybe trying to head up some of these groups. Eventually, I want to pass these groups on to someone else. And so I'm not focusing on these groups. We can kind of focus on some other things in some other areas. So I want to meet with Kennedy, CCAT. I was looking at Russell. Sorry. Kennedy, CCAT, Lalo, if I can meet with you, Marcus and Todd, and Randy and Charles, if I can meet with you guys after. And if any of you other men signed up for a group and want to be maybe more of like a, you know, help out and more of like a leadership heading up the group, come talk to us as well. So I just wanted to say that from the very beginning. So we've been focusing on kind of this logical sequence of events. If we want new prospects, we want people to obey the gospel, some baptism has to take place. And if baptism is going to take place, we know good gospel teaching has to take place. And if teaching is going to take place, you need the people to be taught. And so remember, we've been kind of working our way back, and then we wanted to kind of work on getting to that new convert step. And so right now we're in the middle of trying to differentiate between good prospects and maybe people who might not be ready, but they're slightly interested, or maybe you know, they're just wanting to seek out some curiosity and whatever it is we came up with, and how to move those people towards good prospects. And then once we have good prospects, what do we do with them? And that's kind of what we've been focusing on. Last week we looked at how to just maybe break the ice with some people. You know, I'm sure all of us had someone in mind, but you don't know really how to go about talking to them, how to break the ice, on how to invite them. And I gave you one homework assignment to try to talk to someone and invite someone to services. I'm not going to call out anybody, but does anyone want to share how that experience went if you tried it? I don't want to show of hands, and if you did or did not try it, I'm going to trust that you all were good students and actually did it. But anyone that did it, how did your experience go? Anyone want to share? Charles? Okay. So let me ask you this. Did he get mad that you tried to ask him to church? No. Did you walk away feeling purpose was not to, I mean, obviously the person, the purpose is to get someone here that we can talk to and teach. But the purpose of that little exercise was to just see how easy it was to try to go talk to somebody. And, you know, remember the number one reason people don't talk to people is they're scared and they're afraid of what the other person might think. And you know, Charles, you said, he wasn't mad, right? You asked him, he wasn't mad. Hey, you couldn't make it? Okay. But Charles can always go back and say, what about this Sunday or this Sunday night? But what he's done is he's opened a door, right? And so that's a perfect example that, hey, people might say no, but sometimes no isn't that bad. Maybe there's a door that's left open and they say, hey, I can't this time because I have this going on, but he didn't say no forever, right? And so that's a good example. Anyone else? Lala? Welcome back, by the way. There we go. We have a lot of different nationalities in this congregation. And something that Mike was hitting a lot in his meeting was, remember, if they have someone German walk in the door, well, they would get someone that would speak German and they would go. If they had someone that was Spanish that walked in the door, man, they got someone to speak Spanish and go talk to them. And so if you have a friend that doesn't speak another language or whatever it is, I'm sure we can find someone in here, which is a blessing to have. Who else tried to invite someone that wants to talk. We'll go here and then we'll get back to Kennedy. Go ahead. Yes, were you raising your hand? I tried to fill out my dentist. Oh, okay. Wow, that must have been kind of hard talking to the dentist. With
hey,
there's never a bad time, right? Okay. All right. So she said, if you couldn't hear that, she asked her dentist while she was working on him. So I can imagine how that went. But but she asked, do you believe? And he said, yes, I do. She said, well, we're supposed to ask someone if you want to come to church with us. He said, well, I'm a Catholic, and didn't come. But again, a door's open. You tried. You made the effort. And you never know later. He has a question next time you're in his chair. Well, hey, I remember last time you asked me to come to church with you, and you know, you never know the circumstances that are going to happen between now and then. I'm looking for a new church, or this happened at this church, and I'm not really, I'm starting to question some things. Can I ask you some questions? And so you never know. But the point there is you made a contact, and you made the effort. Kennedy. Right. Yeah.
But I regret the times when I already learned it long time ago, and there were times where he would text me when I was already at church and said, are you at church? And I said, yeah. Are you coming? Oh, you're already there, so maybe next time.
Yeah. Hopefully you're not texting during my sermon, right? No, I'm kidding. But that's another good example that you put yourself out there, you asked, and he knows now that you're someone that goes to church and he can talk to you about those things. What you start seeing is the more you ask people, you're going to get people that want nothing to do with what you're doing. You're going to get people who are, you know, maybe like Charles and Kennedy here that are, you know, well, yeah, maybe I'd come, you know, and they're kind of on the fence. You're going to get people like the dentist that say, I'm another religion. I don't want anything to do with it. But again, maybe a door is left kind of cracked open and you never know down the road. And sometimes you'll get people who are just, yeah, I've been looking, you know. And so what you're going to see is there's always going to be these different stages that people are at. But if you don't ask, you'll never know. And that's the point, and that was the whole point of last week. If you didn't do it, it's okay. You just get an F for this class, and we'll move on. But, you know, the purpose was just to try to get out there and see how easy it was to just, you know, again, a lot of people, they just say, I'm too scared to ask because I don't want them to think bad of me. And I can almost guarantee that if any of you, at least the couple we talked to, they probably don't think any less of you. They just said, say, I'm a Catholic, or, I'd love to come, but I can't do this. They don't think any less of you. They said no in a very polite way, but you never know what could happen later. That was the purpose, okay? So keep working on it. I'm sure you all know people, and if you didn't ask someone, ask someone this week. Just, you know, work it into a conversation there, and you never know what will happen. Cal? There you go. You bring up a good point. Well, I'll call you. You know, a lot of times when people give an excuse, this is what I found. This isn't a blanket statement. Most of the people just are on the fence of coming, and so they just make up an excuse because they're not sure, so they just don't want to come. You know what I'm saying? And so the more you just, well, you sleep in late. Okay, well, I can call. I'll help wake you up. You know? And the more you just, you make the effort, they're going to start seeing, hey, this is really important to this person. They really want me to be, why do they want me to be here? You keep asking, you know, why do they want me to be there so bad? Maybe I should go check it out. And what you start seeing is maybe a little change happens. Now, that could be over a week. That could be over a couple months. That could be over a couple years. And so the whole point behind this, again, don't expect overnight results. Be patient with what's going on, and what you'll start slowly seeing is some gradual work towards our end goal. Ryan, you had your hand up. There you go. I forgot about those pins. Ryan, that's a good idea. Grab a pin if you have it in your purse, you have it in your pocket, hand it to someone, say, all of our information is there. So there you go. You know, and also another thing I noticed is that all of you talk to someone different. Like, you know, you talk to a coworker, you talk to a dentist, you talk to a client, you talk to someone that works for you. And what you start seeing is you find people everywhere that you can talk to. You know, it doesn't have to be a family member. It doesn't have to be someone that lives right next door to you. It can be someone you see once every, what, 6 months if you're a good dentist person, you know. I hate the dentist, so I try to go as little as possible. I'm actually going tomorrow, so. But, you know, what you start seeing is you can find people everywhere just depending on where you look. And, again, like we talked about last week, the purpose of this part is to just kind of turn the light bulb on, to start seeing people as someone that needs to hear the gospel, someone that needs to come to church. And when we can start visually seeing people as, I need to talk to them. My dentist, I need to talk to him about, you know, coming to church, or whoever it is, that's when your culture of your mind and your heart start changing, like what we were talking about. And you're no longer just, I have a homework assignment that I need to invite one person. It's now, this is what I do. I need to invite this person because they don't go to church. I want to invite this person because they need the gospel. And that's going to, again, happen over time. Leonard? Right. There you go. There you go. You never know where you're going to find someone to teach. So that's good. So keep working on that. Keep trying to branch out and talk to somebody, get out of our comfort zone a little bit, and see if we can keep branching out. Oh, I wanted to tell the story of Lillian. She's not here. We can say whatever we want about it. No, I'm kidding. Lillian, the week or week before our meeting with Brooke's dad, was at, I think it was Popeyes? KFC, something like that? Popeyes. And she's sitting there alone at her table, and in walks a man that needs to fill out an application looking for a job. And there's no open table in the restaurant, and so he asks Lillian, he says, can I sit down right here and fill out my application? Sure, she says. So he sits down, starts filling it out, and she starts talking about church. Starts talking to him about, you know, where do you go? You should come see us. We have a meeting this week. Why don't you come to our meeting? That man is Manny, who's been coming quite a bit recently, and he needed some help, so we helped him out, and he's still coming, and and we keep talking to him about what he needs to do and if he wants a Bible study. And but the point is, he's here pretty regularly. He's not here this evening, but he was here this morning. He was here last Sunday. I think he was here this past Wednesday, if I'm maybe not. But he's been coming. So again, she was just eating lunch at Popeyes. You know, and you never know when someone's going to sit down. And she had enough, enough sense to say, where do you go to church? Do you want to go to church? You know, and there you go. Is that simple? And now we have someone coming. And so again, keep your eyes open. And that's the point of this part. When our eyes are open and we're looking, you're going to start seeing people pop up all over the place. The problem is, most of our eyes are closed and we don't look at people like that. We look at people as, well, they're that religion. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They would never want to listen to what I have to say. Well, I don't want to make it awkward between our friendship, and I don't want to do this. And so we just kind of close off, instead of maybe opening up a little bit, again, getting out of the comfort zone and doing that. So, good. I'm glad some of you tried it. And if again, if you didn't try it, try it this week and see what happens. And maybe we'll talk to a few more people next Sunday as well. I wanted to talk about something tonight that I think, and I was debating doing it one way, and I'll tell you why when we get to that point. But on Wednesday night, we've been talking in Acts chapter 9 about the conversion story of Saul. And in regards to this class, we've been talking about getting prospects, talking to those prospects, talking to people that want to hear the gospel, and then teaching those people that want to hear the gospel. Because the next spot in that, once you have the prospects, they need to be well taught. And so the problem a lot of people come up with is, I don't know what to teach. I don't know what to say. What do I tell these people? What do I show them? What do I do? And I want to share with you a few thoughts from Saul, later known as Paul, on something he did that was effective, that we can use today, and it can do one of two things. It can help you talk to a prospect and maybe try to get them to church, or if they've been coming, it might help teach them and move them closer to baptism. And so it just depends on where they are, but you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. We all know the story of Saul's conversion, right? Saul was maybe someone who's not here on Wednesday night since we've been going over it. What do we know about Saul in Acts chapter 9? Not King Saul from the Old Testament, but Saul in the New Testament. Okay. Right. The few times that we saw Saul before Acts chapter 9 were two places. One, he's the one that gave permission for Stephen stoning. And two, before they stoned Stephen, they laid down their cloaks at his feet. And he okayed the stoning of Stephen. And we know from Acts 9 verses 1 and 2 that he was on his way to Damascus, and what was his intent? What was he doing? He was going to go kill and apprehend anyone that was of the way. Lalo?
He was a
Right. He was a really very religious person. He was a Pharisee. Pharisees were very devout followers of the Old Law, the Old Testament, so much so that they wrote their own book of interpretations of the Old Law, and they kind of came up with their own rules as well, and so they strayed away a little bit. But they were very, very religious people. I had someone ask me, and I forget who it is, and I'm sorry. If any of you have been watching the series, the history channel series, the Bible, there's a point where a Pharisee is teaching. This was last week's episode. He's teaching, and he has a little box on his forehead. Any of you remember that? Some of, and I forget who asked me, but they said, what's that box? Why is he wearing that box right here on his forehead? That's something Pharisees would do because they took the Old Testament so literally that in Deuteronomy where it says bind these things on your forehead, they would keep a little portion of the law in a box and strap it to their forehead while they were teaching. And some of you saw that probably, and that was very historically accurate, actually, and I was surprised that they got that right because they've got some pretty other simple things wrong. But, you know, they took things very, very spiritual people. And so that's who Saul was. He was very high up in the ranks in the Pharisee world. And of course, we know the conversion story. He sees Jesus. He meets Jesus there on the road. Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? He says, go into the city and wait for someone I'm going to send you. Jesus goes to Ananias, remember? Ananias is a little apprehensive at first to go to Saul. But eventually he goes and he says, brother, that's an interesting story of his conversion, to see where he was and where he ended up. He was a sinner. Later, Paul would refer to himself as the chief of sinners. He was killing Christians, persecuting Christians, but yet he ended up one of the most influential men, I think, ever in this world, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, teaching and preaching the power of the gospel all over the world. Jesus even said in verse 15 of Acts 9, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And so he went from a very lowly state in Jesus' eyes to being one of the most powerful and influential men in the Christian world, which is just an unbelievable thing. But what we see is this, his story doesn't stop there. You know, you go throughout the book of Acts. Twice in the book of Acts, he has to defend his Christianity to the Jews and the Gentiles. One in Acts 22, the other is in Acts 26. That's where I want to look at tonight. Acts 26, if you want to flip over there. So Paul here is before Agrippa, and he's having to really solidify why he became a Christian, defend why he did this. And so he goes back into the whole story of the conversion on the road to Damascus. And he's explaining why he switched from his pharisaical ways and why he started believing in Christ. Why he was killing Christians before to becoming a Christian, you know. Some of you can see that in if you have the Jesus' words in red, you have some red there. It's because he's recounting the story of what happened on that road to Damascus. But he finishes his story, and let's go to verse 26. Let's start there. Of Acts 26, verse 26. He says, for the king, before whom I speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. I think that's very, very interesting there. That King Agrippa was almost persuaded to become a Christian based on the conversion story that Saul told. His own conversion story. Isn't that interesting? What better way to reach somebody else, someone close to you, than telling your own story on why you became a Christian? Jesus, I realized I have to change some things. I can't continue the way I'm going anymore. I had to give my life to something better, give my life to something greater. And so I made the decision to be baptized, to live by faith, to live by God's word, and to not be the person I was before. I mean, how powerful do you think that could be to someone that's never heard of that before? That they've heard of Jesus Christ, but they really don't understand what giving your life to Jesus Christ meant. How personal do you think it is to them, knowing that their friend, their family member, their whatever, wow, they made the decision to stop living a life of sin and to continue living the life of Christ? You know, how powerful do you think that could be to someone that you know? Here, Saul used it and almost persuaded a king to become a Christian. Because he was basically saying, I was a sinner. Now notice, he's not pointing the finger and saying, you're a sinner, you need to obey the gospel, you need to obey our reasons of belief, you need to be baptized in the waters that we provide, and you need to be baptized in our baptism, or else you're not saved. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, let me tell you about me. Very simply, let me tell you my story. I was a sinner, I met Jesus, I figured out the right thing to do, and I wanted to give my life to Christ, and I wanted to serve him, and so that's what I'm doing. And Agrippa would say after that, I find no reason of fault in this man. How powerful do you think it could be if you, maybe instead of inviting your friend or your family member to church, or maybe they've been coming and they just need that little extra kick in the pants, make sin right is through the blood of Jesus. But here's the problem, and this is what I've debated doing. The problem is, most people don't like getting that personal with the people around them. Again, they're scared of what the person might think of them. They're scared that people would think they're just a bunch of morons for believing in made up Jesus, and so why would I want to sit down and share my story of faith with them? And so they're scared. I sat in a class one time, and we're running out of time to do this now, but the teacher had us pair up with someone that wasn't our spouse or wasn't our best friend or whatever it was, and sit there for about 10 minutes and talk to each other about why I decided to become a Christian. And I really thought about doing that. I thought about calling people out that, you know, normally wouldn't talk to prove that it's not that scary and you can do it. But what I want you to think about, because we are running out of time here, and I kept you over 5 minutes last time, so I owe you a couple minutes this time. But what I want you to think about is your story. What made you decide to become a Christian? What was that turning point in your life when you decided, I can't be living this way anymore, and I need to start living my life for Jesus Christ? What made you so passionate that day? I'm sure all of us can remember that day. I'll tell you my story. I was an idiot in high school. I was not an idiot at the very beginning of high school. I wasn't at the end. Never did anything too bad that a lot of people do, but I didn't do some things that were right, and I just decided today's the day I need to give my life to Jesus. And I remember walking up at the Brea Church of Christ, down the side aisle, in tears, sitting on the front pew, asking for forgiveness, asking God for forgiveness, saying, I'm going to be baptized later. Asking the preacher, I want my dad to do it. My dad marched me right up there, he baptized me, and it was the best feeling in the world to know that everything I had done was done. We can start living a new life. All of you remember your story, I'm sure. All of you remember the moment that you made that decision. I can't wait any longer. Now, are you that passionate about the gospel today? Just as passionate as you were that day to go out and talk to someone about Jesus. see that you are still that passionate about Jesus Christ? Some might be able to say, no, they can't see it. Some might say, yeah, I live it every day. The choice is yours on what you want people to think about you. But if you're ever in a situation where you don't know how to talk to the person, you don't know how to teach them, you don't know, you know what to say, you're a little scared of what if they ask me a question that I don't really know the answer to, well, you're going to know the answer to your story. You don't have to be scared telling the story of why you became a Christian because you know the story. And so just sit down with them and get personal with them. And say, here's exactly why I decided to follow the gospel, because I realize that without Jesus Christ, I am nothing. And that's me. And again, notice what you did was you never pointed the finger at them. 70, I forget the exact number. It was like 78, 79% of people that have attended churches and did not get baptized said they felt pressured into getting baptized. And or they felt like the person was trying to drive it down their throat. It's not up to me to point out the people's sins. Remember we talked about that this morning in the lesson. It's not up to me to look at my friend, my family member, my whatever, and say, you've done this wrong, you've done this wrong, you've done this wrong, and you need to be baptized right now, or else you're going to die, or you're going to go to hell. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is to sit there, and there's multiple ways to do this, but what I see Saul or Paul doing is saying, let me tell you about my story. And when they can see that it changed your life, someone that they know, they trust, they like, they respect, it changed your life, some walls are going to start crumbling down there. And they're going to start saying, maybe I need to make some changes in my life as well. Maybe I do need to come to church with you and see what your faith is all about, see what Christianity is all about. Or maybe they've been coming to church and they say, you know what, maybe I just need to get over that last hurdle and I just need to be baptized. Because all your stories are different. All your stories are going to touch someone a different way. I was talking with Brooke and my brother on the way to services tonight, and I was talking about this idea. And Brooke says, I'll tell you in all honesty, I was ready for the longest time. I was just scared of going up in front of people. And a lot of people are. A lot of people are scared of going up in front of people. And so someone like Brooke, who can sit there and say, let me tell you my story. I was scared of going up in front of people. But I realized that once I got up there and I sat on that pew, it didn't matter what other people thought. I was giving my life to Christ. That could touch someone a different way than my story could touch them. Or, you know, and we all have our story. And that's the thing. We can use what happened to us to teach people. And so if you're not a teacher by nature, don't worry about it. If you're not going to be someone that wants to sit down at these home Bible studies that will start eventually and teach the material, don't worry about it. There are ways that you could teach without actually being a teacher in a sit-down classroom setting. You just teach your story, you teach the simple gospel, and let the power of the gospel do its work. Any questions or comments on any of that? Judy? Saying maybe you don't have the background that the person you're talking to has, and so you can't relate to them on some level. Is that right? Yeah, that's a good point. If you couldn't hear Judy, she said, you know, there's times where she feels like maybe she can't relate as much to maybe a person because she grew up in the church. She grew up a preacher's daughter. She wasn't exposed to a lot of the things, right? And how do you talk to someone that maybe has a background of some things that you're not used to, right? Right. 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 It takes life experience to really get you to. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you've grown up in the church and you've decided to be baptized, a lot of people say, well, that's just what's expected of you. So how do you know it was real? Right? And then there's people that grew up in all these different religions, and they come and they really hear the power of the gospel and what it could do and the salvation and freedom from sins and everything like that. And some people argue their faith is stronger because they didn't have the teaching as little children. It wasn't something that was expected of them. It was something that was their choice. I know a lot of people that have been rebaptized and because of that same thing. You know, and I know a lot of people in the church that say, well, you don't need to be rebaptized. Just, you've been baptized once, your sins are forgiven, but just start living your life now. Whatever it is, because whatever side you fall on, the important thing is you came to the realization. And I think you can relate to them by saying, at one point in my life, there was a realization that I needed to start living for Christ. And I realized the importance of salvation and of forgiveness of sins and of those kinds of things. You see what I'm talking about there? Now, yes, we might not have the same past as a lot of people. Again, we all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. Certain sins that someone else may have done might not be the certain sins that I've found myself in, or whatever it is. But the awesome thing about the Bible is that salvation and forgiveness of sins is extended to everybody. And everyone can relate to the power of Christ and forgiveness of sins. You know, but the point of telling your personal story is to sit there and say, this is how it affected me. You're going to need to decide how it's going to affect you. Some people might hear your story and say, well, that's a nice story, but that's not how I see it. Well, okay. You know, some people might really touch the core, though. And so you never know. But I see your point that some people might need a little something extra because you can't really relate with some of their background or whatever it is. And that's okay when we can start, and we'll talk about this in the next couple weeks. Start grabbing help from different resources. Remember, you're not in this alone. So does that answer your question? Kind of, sort of. Uh-huh. Right. 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 You have a story. You have a story.
It's a boring story.
Judy's chapter would just be really short. Charles would be really long. Here's the thing, and you fall in the category with a lot of people that grew up in the church. A lot of people feel the same way you feel. I don't have a story. I grew up in the church. It's what was expected, and so that's what I did. But like I said before, even you came to a point in your life somewhere where you realized, I need the gospel, and I need Jesus. And that can still touch someone very, very deeply. And so you have a story. Just have faith in your story and have faith that Jesus worked in your life and share that with other people. Vera. Right. My dad was the same way. Baptized into the Mormon church. Started talking with my mom and realizing some things don't add up here and started searching for truth. And so, again, you never know how it's going to happen or how your story is going to affect someone else. We're all going to be able to touch people differently. There are some people like yourself, like Lala, who grew up a Catholic, and other people. They're going to be able to talk to people in a way that I'll never be able to talk to them about. You know what I'm saying? And so we all have our story. We can all touch people, but don't be afraid to get personal and let them see you and what made you change your life for the better. Because Saul used it effectively. And Saul, I love that saying, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. So what if we can persuade people to become a Christian with our story? And of course, with the story of Jesus. Remember, that's where it all starts. Without Jesus, we're nothing. Maybe you're here tonight and you've decided that today's the day you want to make your life right. You want to start your story. You want to start your chapter. There's an opportunity to come forward. We'll study with you. We'll pray with you. We'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, we want you to make your life right with Jesus Christ so that you can have hope and eternal life in heaven. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, come forward as we stand.